Lime, duh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Woo. Woo. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast for comedians
who dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
I'm your host, the host, the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Clap, 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 clap. Donnie Wrestling. Clap, 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 clap. A.k.a. Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy. A.k.a. the modern day goof. Yeah, yeah, coming at ya like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, wee, gabba, gabba. This girl, she is mine, and damn, she's fat. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy wrestling reactions. I am here. Welcome to Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, Road Diaries. Shout out to my boy Cole Cabana, his Road Diaries podcast. Check that out if you ever heard of that. Art Wrestling. I am here in Augusta, Georgia, recording in my hotel room. And that's why I'm kind of screaming but whispering at the same time to doing the intro. And as you can tell, I don't have my soundboard. I actually do have it. I have the capabilities to do it. And it's dead. So I was like, hey, has to happen. But we're coming off, I'm on the road right now working. And I'm like, gotta still fucking do the podcast, especially with a week like this. And especially because I'm really loving wrestling right now. I'm loving what's going on. And there's so much to talk about. But remember, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. So listen, the bonus episode, Patreon bonus episode this week, I'm going to do one on the Stone Cold show. I watched it, but here's the thing, and this is funny. I watched the show on mute in a Hampton Inn lobby. I didn't have it on mute, but some people came into the lobby, put it on mute. And so I watched it without the sound. So I have to go back and watch it. But I'm on the road right now working on a show that I can't give too much detail on, but I'm very excited about it. And the cool thing. So, yeah. So that Patreon app for all the patrons, be patient. I'm going to put out a bonus app talking about the Stone Cold. What's it? Steve Austin says, whatever the show is called. Who cares? It's called Stone Cold and on an ATV talking about God knows what. But anyway, amazing thing right now is that I'm traveling and I'm working, and it's kind of like my first time in a while where, you know, because I live, you know, I'm a comedian, so I live kind of this unconventional lifestyle. My schedule's always in flux. And truthfully, you know, sometimes you go through like crazy weeks and then dead weeks. You know, so my relationship with wrestling and watching it sometimes has been weird because I have shows at night. So sometimes it's on when I'm like, that's when I actually have something to do, but you know, and I'm like, man, I wish that it was on earlier, you know. But I'm at this weird thing right now where when I'm watching wrestling, because I'm working around the clock, and wrestling is like truly an escape for me right now. I put it on. I'm like, every time I get to watch it, I get that moment to watch it. I'm like, I feel like true relief. Like the way TV, the stress relief that television programs are supposed to give you. And boy, oh boy, it is awesome. And I'm so excited to just see wrestling in like a whole new lens. Also, I'm traveling around to all these hotels and I'm putting wrestling on, and I'm putting it on in the lobby. I work late at night in lobbies. Basically, I have to prepare for the next day of shooting, but a lot of information's changing. So I'm up late at night. But so people keep coming up to me talking about wrestling in lobbies. And the one conversation you always get is like, some people when they see wrestling, it's very irritating But they see wrestling and they just go, oh man, like this response of like, oh man, I haven't seen this in a while. Like, and I can't help, it's funny because, you know, I consider myself a friendly, nice guy, but this attitude irks me so much because I there's this thing that's just like, this thing's still on, like, oh my God, I used to watch this when I was a kid. And you're like, yeah, and my response is always just like, it's still good. Now, I'm not an asshole, I'm not being mean, but there is this thing that's like, people are very comfortable with like something that I'm very vested in being like, this, oh my God, I can't believe you like this. And it just, it's like, it's I know people aren't trying to be mean, and it's not something you should be upset with. I think they're just like, you know, people fall into their norms of society, and the norm of society is that like wrestling is A for kids and B is something that isn't watched anymore since Attitude Era. It's died out. But I mean, the amount of times people are just like, well, regale me about like, oh my God, I used to watch it, and me and my brother would put moves on each other, and I'm just like, I don't know. Do people do that with, like, if you watch baseball or something? They're just like, oh, my God, I used to play T-ball. You know, I used to, I used to wear a baseball cap sometimes, you know. Anyway, I just, it's just everyone. So watching wrestling in public like that, it's you're going to get attention. But we'll see what come fall. Maybe it'll be a big move. Anyway, so look, we got a lot to talk about, okay? SummerSlam weekend just happened, and TakeOver, I mean, incredible shows. I want to kick this off by calling my best bud. Since we don't have cash-ins right now, okay, we're going to put the cash-ins on hold until I'm off the road, and I'll be on the road the next couple of weeks. The Georgia air. I'm feeling phenomenal being here in Georgia, but I'm going to call my best bud, Shabiro. I'm going to do a cashing out. We're doing cash outs, and I'm going to go cash out to him. Let's see. Let's call him up. I want to talk to this guy. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Hey, this is Jason Shapiro, reminding you to leave a message. And always remember, don't text and drive. It can wait.
Wow, well, you're not only hear a real annoying voicemail machine, but also he did not pick up, even though he told me he was going to pick up. And you know what? You guys know I'm operating. I'm here in Augusta, Georgia, a place I've never been. And you think you'd be able to rely on your friends. I don't have a Noosh. He's out of the country. I don't have Newman here. But we're trying him again. Let's go.
You've got gold.
Oh, my God. What happened? You didn't pick up the first... you know I don't have the editing capabilities to take that out. I mean, now the people just heard me call you, and you're on the air right now. You're on the air.
They heard me answer the phone like Ari Gold by saying, you've got gold?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a shot because Ronda Rousey was in Entourage, so that the movie.
Yeah, it's a wrestling reference. I don't know if you knew that. I didn't realize it when I said it, but now I'm certain it was, in fact, a wrestling reference.
So we are on the air with my best friend, Jason Shapiro.
I would say I'm your best friend. I'm also friend of the show.
Friend of the show. My ride or die. Listen, I felt like we had a last night I called you to talk about wrestling for a secret reason, which we cannot mention on this podcast.
Okay.
We can't.
It's top TikTok.
I had a great piece of information that I'm actually not allowed to share, but just saying that is annoying, and we don't have editing.
Yeah, what is this? You're sharing with people that you have a fucking hot scoop that you'll never tell them? That's
it's annoying.
It's very annoying. Why even do that? What a bad host you are. You're just a bad person. Yeah, you're making annoying content.
Well, you know, it's because you know what the thing is, and it's like, anyway, let's just move on. So here's the deal, Shabs. We're you've been, I feel like, interestingly about wrestling right now. It's like, so SummerSlam was pretty
You're doing
dope.
Like a Nicholas Fane impression right now.
No, because I'm in this
you're
hotel.
Doing the
I'm doing all the tech myself here. I got the mic. I'm holding the mic.
You seem overwhelmed. I'm sorry. Yes. Do you want me to cue up this segment? I could talk about what went down.
Well, actually, because we didn't get to talk. I'm saying, did you enjoy SummerSlam? That's my first question.
Yes, very much. I will, in full disclosure, say I watched SummerSlam like how Arlen watches wrestling, which is absolutely me throwing shade at him. It's like he'll do it while he's like banging out emails. He's got wrestling on the background, and then he pauses it to go fucking do some TRX, and then he comes. You know, he watches it, but he's not in. I like to pride myself on like when I watch wrestling or anything. Like I consume the fucking content. I'm like doing nothing but staring right at the screen, full attention. If I don't hear a line, I'm gonna rewind 10 seconds. And be like, wait, what did Cole say right there? But this time, because I've been very behind on wrestling, I was just like, I just gotta get to SummerSlam. I've heard good things, so I consumed it like an asshole, a little bit passively. I skipped a lot of matches.
Well, you live by a serious code, and that code does not work for watch content.
It doesn't watch
does
wrestling.
Not work for wrestling at all.
Yeah,
you don't
my code, I have a code of consumption.
You're
like,
the Aerosmith. I don't want to miss a thing.
I don't want to miss a thing. Yeah, I sing that to myself. But basically, if I'm going to watch something, I got to watch the whole thing. I actually got a lot better. It used to be like if people were like, hey, you got to see this segment on Conan, I'd be like, oh, cool. Let me just start from the beginning of the episode and watch like an hour and a half talk show. Just to get like a brief
We live in the clip economy.
Well, yes. A lot of the shows sort of like rejiggered their format too, where like they're very clip consumable. But like it was killing me, man. Like for me to watch something, I got to watch everything. Like if I don't skip an episode, I don't skip a beat. Like I got to see the whole thing because that's how I know that my opinions are in fact better than other people's opinions because I've seen everything. I've evaluated it from all angles. I've taken in all the factors into consideration. I'm studying the history. I'm predicting the future. I'm doing things other spectators could only dream of. And if I violate my code, I don't think that I am holding myself to that standard anymore. So full disclosure, I watched SummerSlam like Arlen,
a little bit
passive.
And you're disgusted with yourself.
I'm sick to my stomach, but and maybe this is the segue, is that like this is also like the first pay-per-view I think I've watched in like a month or two.
Well, so that's why I wanted to talk to you, because of the conversation we were having, which is you dipped out. You dipped out, but this is not – you do this often.
I do it almost every year.
Post-mania.
A couple of years I stay the whole time, but like I dip out. There is in fact an off-season. Of wrestling. You know, once WrestleMania hits and all the storylines get resolved and all the biggest things happen and all that buildup gets, you know, discharged, it kind of, there's like a month of like, oh shit, let's see how that all now takes effect. But for the most part, once you hit the summer, the dog days of summer, like SummerSlam to me is always, they try to make it the biggest party of the summer. They try to treat it like WrestleMania, and it's just not. Like the shit kind of barely matters ever. It's really only after SummerSlam where stuff starts getting picking up. And then of course, if I ever dip out really hard, like really hard, then like by the time Royal Rumble rolls around, like you get the fuck on board. Like that is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania.
Right, absolutely.
And no matter when I dip out, I jump back on the road for WrestleMania for sure. But right now we are on the road to the road. And that's important too.
Well, I also think like Survivor Series has been pretty good. Like that whole November, October zone has actually been pretty good in the past couple of years. I remember the past 2 years I've been surprised about how vested I am in that time.
Well, Survivor Series, like out of all the big four, like out of all the tent poles, like the quarterlies, Survivor Series is the shittiest one, right? There's WrestleMania in the spring, there's SummerSlam in the summer, Royal Rumble in the winter.
Yes.
Survivor Series is like the bad one, but it has been pretty good.
So here's the deal. So you dipped out, but like, I was having this conversation with you, and I was like, look, I don't dip out. I do this podcast. And I have this, I know like people got really down on wrestling. I think SummerSlam, all the excitement that happened there, and I think now we're in a good zone. WWE's like gonna ride this out into October. They've made the necessary changes. They have AEW coming. Like I feel like they're in a good zone right now. But this isn't like a new thing with wrestling. It always has a peaks and valley. Like it's on all year long. And what I'm saying is that my philosophy to myself is I've been through this cycle so many times, and this is what I want to share with people, that like I just tell myself, cut it out. Like when I'm not into the wrestling, and by the way, I stick to all my criticisms I've been saying the past couple weeks of WWE having a foundational problem of too many straps and the storytelling. They've done some really nice fixes on a lot of that stuff. But it's like, I know, even when I don't feel it, I know that I love this thing. Because there's highs of this. There's highs of wrestling, like The Fiend at SummerSlam, right? I'm watching that and I'm like, this is so good. Wrestling's the best shit I've ever watched in my fucking life. This is the highest form of art. Fuck anyone not watching this. What a bunch of dummies not watching wrestling right now, idiots. You know what I mean? And you're like, that, I feel that. But if you compare that to like literally like 2 weeks ago, you know what I mean? Like, because right now we're in the, you're like, man, I was like, oh man, wrestling is, I'm like, I'm not feeling this thing at all. Like, I'm like, I lose the feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know my policy,
but
right?
I always like it, but I'm saying that the love I feel for wrestling, why I dedicate so much of my time and life to it, is in like these big moments. But when you're out of that euphoria, I remind myself that it exists. And I think every wrestling fan should do that.
I think
do you actually want it to have, do we actually want seasons?
Look, people, the debate is like, hey, should there be a season? Right. Should there be an off season? I don't think there should, but I do think that they could stand to give these guys a little bit more breaks and give a little bit less bit. You know, there should be more, you know, the wrestlers should have a little bit more time off. They shouldn't have to grind so hard.
Right.
And so maybe a few people do take it easy,
right,
like all summer long, and you don't see some of the big stars because they're resting up. And then you get to maybe see some B-level guys really shine and then like make a name for themselves. Like, I think if you do have a little bit more built-in time away, then more interesting things have room to breathe. But I want to talk about your point that you were getting down on wrestling, because I've heard this. A lot of people were down for like a month or two. You know, you were talking about lull times, and then – you know, I know this iffy character has been, you know, whatever. Like, it's just a bad time in the world, right?
I mean, we haven't seen him with the title in God knows how long.
I mean, look, honestly, I think he's a joke, and I think you're kind of a fucking joke for losing to him. And I'm going to get you in fighting shape, and we're going to do something about this.
It's fair. I just want to point out, he did have a stooge. He's got 100 pounds on me. He had a stooge hit me with a kendo stick. Well, I still have a mark from him, by the way. But all right,
well,
fine.
Good for you. But so the thing is, sometimes wrestling, there's a lull and people get like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to watch this stuff anymore, man. I don't know. My advice to those wrestling fans is just wait longer. Like, you just hang in there, man. And like, it'll come back around.
That's what I'm saying.
The road, even if you can't bring yourself. Yeah, everyone needs to shut the fuck up.
And by the way, if we go back in this podcast and we find like, I'm sure I had a moment where I was frustrated myself and said something I regret. But ultimately, can we cut this thing out? I'm going to go to WrestleMania every year.
We're all going to touch down in Tampa, of course.
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to TDIT, of course.
What I'm saying is this. Let's say you don't want to watch wrestling right now. Okay, fine. You know you're going to be back in for Mania. So you know you're going to be on the road. Did I hang up on myself? What's going on here?
That was me. I pressed the hotel. I leaned on the hotel phone.
Well, you're truly a master of every trade.
This is the Comedian Wrestling Road Diaries. I'm in Augusta, Georgia right now.
Hey, right on.
Yeah.
Say hello to the big boss man for me. So you got WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You're going to be in for WrestleMania. You're going to be on the road to WrestleMania. So you know you're going to pop in at least for Royal Rumble, even if you don't like this shit. You're going to pop in for Rumble. So enough of that. And then because you guys are all insiders, because you actually love this stuff, you're going to pop in Survivor Series and maybe a little bit after just to like get on the road to the road. So you know, we know you're going to be at Mania. We know you're probably going to check out the Rumble. So you know you're going to be checking out that Survivor Series. So you know you should just be checking it out right now. Get the fuck back in.
It's like cutting out a little bit.
Just cut it out, because who are you kidding? This stuff is gold. Wrestling is amazing. You know how I feel about this stuff.
Yeah.
I'll reiterate my position, because it's an important position.
Yeah.
It's the correct
position.
Get out of
here. Yeah, give me your permission.
The position is, when people complain about wrestling, it's so funny to me, because as we all know,
wrestling is not good.
Wrestling is not good.
Yeah.
It is a bad, it sucks. I don't like watching it. It's like usually pretty shitty. However, when they finally get something right, either on purpose or by accident, or just because a big storyline took a turn and paid off. And even if they misstepped, but then somehow it all came together the right way, right? Even when things, every once in a while, all the planets align and wrestling is transcendent and it is amazing. And there's no other 100%. Bit of entertainment that can possibly do what it does. Because on one level, you're taking the storyline and the script. And the other level, you're taking the behind the scenes and the fans know what's actually going on. And that informs the script. And on the third level, you're actually the fans themselves, wills and desires. The audience is a part, the universe is a part of the action. So they dictate kind of what's going to happen. You've got three different levels, meta levels, informing the product and making it interesting to consume, and no other bit of entertainment, not live theater, not film, not television, not books, nothing, not comics. There is nothing that does what this thing does. Yeah. So the thing is, oh, hey, it's boy, I don't like it right now. It's like, yeah, you know what? That's because it's bad. Just wait longer because it's going to get good again. I did pop in on SummerSlam, and I'll tell you, things are getting spicy. They're heating up. There's a lot of good shit going on.
You felt the spice. You felt the heat?
I felt the heat. And look, this is a guy.
Did you say jalapeno or habanero?
I would say Fresno chili.
Wow. Everyone knows that's the spiciest kind of chili.
I don't think it's the spiciest.
I don't know what that is. Like
a scotch bonnet is very spicy. Let's go with scotch bonnet.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a Roddy Piper finisher or something.
So, yeah, but it's like, I just think it's this thing where it's like, I don't know. I encourage everyone, get to this place. It's like any relationship, okay? Like, there's no relationship that you're, I'm a married man, right? There's no relationship you're in where it's good every second, right? You have times where you're just like, what am I doing with, you know, like, with me and this person, we don't get along. Like, what is this? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Relationships are complicated.
Sometimes you're getting a Roman Reigns Royal Rumble win. And you're just like, yeah, what am I doing in this thing?
Absolutely, right? And you're like, what is this? You're having an off, you're having an off couple weeks or whatever. But then you have moments where you're like, this is the best fucking person ever. Like, I'm like, I'm so lucky that I'm with this person. I have them. It's like, it's just the same thing with WWE where how do people stay married through the bad times? You know, it's like you fucking just push through because you know the rumble's happening. You know the rumble's.
You know there's always another rumble. I mean, the thing is what you're talking about basically is sometimes happiness is not a thing. It's not a constant thing. It's not just like, oh, this person's happy or they're set. No, that's not happiness. Everyone in the right mind should be unhappy most of the time. It's bad news everywhere. We're born to die. Life's a cruel joke, right? So the thing is, happiness is the moments, right? And you have to realize, you have to be smart enough to know that certain things, certain people in your life, certain products you consume, they are capable of delivering true happiness, giving you these moments, these fleeting moments. Life doesn't have many of them. So, you know, maybe it's bad sometimes. Maybe it's been lull times. But there's only very few things in this world that actually make you happy, if only for just a second.
Right.
And wrestling is one of them. Your wife is one of them. You're going to hold on to those two things.
That's right.
Through all the bullshit.
Right. And at least of the two, wrestling will always be there for me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, wrestling's not going to divorce you. And your wife, I mean, maybe. Who can know for sure? We'll see, I guess.
No one can know. Who can know, folks? Who can know? I think it's the thing where it's on mic. In my notes here, I write, WB is back. And then you're like, that, we just got to get rid of that. It's like, look, you kind of want wrestling to hit those lull times.
Sure. I love that I dipped out. I took 2 months off. I feel fucking great. I'm refreshed. I'm ready to get back in the mix. I was a little bit busy for a while. And as I mentioned, I consume hard. I can't passively watch. So I got to watch fucking 10 hours of shit. Right. I can't do it every week.
Yeah.
I like taking a break. And I like that it got shitty so I could take a little bit of a break.
So,
because honestly, it's very helpful for me having a best friend who's required to watch this every week for part of his job.
Yeah.
It's great because you are my litmus, right? You're my canary in the coal mine. You actually said to me in Arlen,
well, I hit you earlier in this week, because you guys,
like, look, SummerSlam was good and you need to watch it. You need to at least watch The Fiend's entrance. And I did. And it was great. I mean, I will say, just from the Facebook group and stuff, it was a little oversold to me, but it was certainly spectacular. Like, it was a very cool moment. And I love it. And Bray, I hope they do this right, because he's had so many, you know, swings at bat here that he should have hit at home runs that they just didn't let him.
Right.
You know, and I think this one, they should really just like follow this one.
I mean, it feels like they're letting him do his thing.
Well,
I mean,
you know what I think? I think that he should have beaten Undertaker at WrestleMania. They should have given him that to become the new like king of the macabre. He should have been the new like, you know, spooky dude in town. They should have passed that torch. The streak was already over. There was nothing to gain by having Taker beat him. So I think
they were all like, what a mistake. Like that hurt him for years.
Bray is one of those guys that they just continually, Bray and Ziggler, there's some guys that they just like, don't let them get off the ground because they know that they're still worth something.
I think Drew, Joe, McIntyre, these guys.
Well, they know that these guys can still draw and perform and be valuable without getting those wins, right? People still want to see him. So Bray's got a tough deal because he's so good that they can do that with him, but they didn't give him Taker. I think what we're gearing up for, what I believe, is a Fiend versus Demon two dudes in face paint situation.
I think that's Mania, right?
I think it's Mania, and I think they need to feed Demon Finn to Bray. I think they need to have him do the job to Bray as he's done it for so many other people. They need to really imbue the Fiend with some serious power, and I think...
How do you feel about a trip off threat with Kane?
Is Kane even... Isn't he in the Capitol right now? What's he doing?
Yeah, he's the president. Around? He's actually the president of the United States right now. No, he's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. By the way, one of our listeners lives in Knox County. He voted for Kane.
He's a Kane voter? Yeah. Of course he voted for Kane. Yeah, I voted for Kane too.
If Kane was running for like the, I don't know, you live in Brooklyn now, so I'd be like the mayor of the county of Brooklyn or whatever.
We just have the New York City mayor.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Ed Koch.
Yeah, but honestly, adding Kane to that match is genius because he could eat the pin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they shouldn't. It should be straight
up. Everyone will be less excited about it.
They don't need to protect Demon Finn. It's really worthless. Like, because here's the thing: if he loses his Demon Finn to the Fiend and he goes down, that's gonna make the Fiend fucking serious. However, if like a year later Finn comes out to some match as the Demon, people will still freak out, and he could still have this Super Saiyan level of power boost and crush over it. Like the Demon is not the streak, right? It's not this like holier than anything else thing that needs to be protected hard. I think he shouldn't lose to like Batista on a fucking SmackDown, but it's gonna be WrestleMania against the Fiend, who they owe Bray this. They owe him to give him his due of like being able to topple a real monster. They should have done it with Taker. I think they should give him the Demon Finn. I don't think it hurts Demon Finn. I think, like I said, he could come back a year later, 6 months later, come in as a Demon Surprise and still have all this mega power from it. But I just think he should do the job to the Fiend.
Let's talk about the Fiend for a sec.
I'm going to talk about it. I got to get the fuck out of here for a sec. But I'll give you one more point. We could do Fiend talk.
Well, how about we finish with the Fiend and then you go?
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal. Let's talk about just Fiend in general. I got 2 points about him. First off, the entrance. I just want to say the song.
Yeah.
The song
was fucking dope.
I think everybody was real pumped that he didn't just ditch the other song.
Sure. Other song was great. When that song first came out, we would drive around LA to that thing. Windows down, just cruise to it. It was so good.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, that song is great. It's very catchy. It's good. And then it's also, he's still Bray Wyatt. They're still calling him Bray Wyatt when he's in the Firefly Funhouse, you know? But then it was like, I was talking to Newman, who says the song's made by Code Orange, I believe they're called.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, they're really good. Like, Newman's a metal guy and was like, oh, of course, that's why it's good, you know?
Well, look. WWE, I mean, they used to have Jimmy Johnston, who's a fucking genius, and they have the CFO's dollar sign. I mean, they have good talent, but every once in a while, they go to the real well, and they'll pull out a Saliva. Say what you will, they're very good at what they do. They will pull out a 3-6 Mafia for Mark Henry's theme song. You know, like, it's not crazy to pull out, like, a gangster metal band to really give Bray a sick song.
Right. Yeah. But I think... So here, I thought that was great. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
So where are you at on the look and the mask?
Oh, I'm all in. You mentioned you didn't like it head on, but you liked it from the profile.
Yeah.
I like it at all angles. I think it's a great look. I think it looks great with his hair. I think it has the red edges to the white face. Like it actually looks like a scary, like someone else's skin.
It looks very scary. It's actually the first time. Like WWE, this is the first time they've went like full horror, I think. Like where they're not holding back at all.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, like, it's very
they're clearly saying, like, Bray, you can be, like, legit scary, and there's and kids are no question scared of him. He looks scary. I would be terrifying. Scared of him. If you standing in front of me, like, looking at me, I'd be scared.
If a fucking 6 foot tall guy with dreadlocks and a fucking death clown mask that was in front of you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think anyone would be scared of it.
Okay. So here's the next mail, Bray. Like, I really like the mask. I think it's a minor thing. The nose area looks a little off to me. It's a little.
I'd have to look at a picture. I don't have it in front of me right now.
From the side, it looks amazing because he's got that huge mouth. He's got the carnage mouth.
I had no problem with it.
You know?
He's got a big mouth, and you can see his little mouth through the big mouth, which I think also looks kind of cool. And he's doing he's going the distance, man, because he's putting like black eye shadow and stuff on his eyes through the mask. And they look great. He's got the colored contacts in. He's really going the extra mile with this thing. It's a great look.
Actually, you're talking about the eye shadow of the mask. Like, one thing that's really cool is, like, I don't really see that part. I kind of only see his eyeballs. With the lenses.
If you look close, like, there are eye holes in the mask, but he's clearly has black paint, like a ball across his eyes, so that it looks totally blended in.
But it's done really well. The makeup job's really good. Job. Not to mention
he must have consulted Goldust. Covered that guy's the premier.
Oh yeah, then makeup. He does it himself, right? Goldust.
Yeah, Goldust's been doing it himself. He's really just an artiste.
He's the dream. Would you say he's the dream?
I'm having to do my makeup
or the natural?
I would say he's the natural.
Okay,
as
so
we all know
what I'm saying is that. I know you said you had to go, so I'm trying to get you into this. This might open up the next level of this thing. But you have great opinions, bro. Here's the thing, and then you could just dip out, but I'll bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
Is I love, first off, the way Bray looks. Like, the hair looks fucking amazing. His, like, dress.
Nice short,
he's tatted
short
up like crazy. He looks like he actually has, like, a full, like, hawk tattoo across his chest. Have you seen that?
Yeah, he looks amazing. He definitely got in shape, like, in his time off before Firefly Funhouse.
Like, yeah, he probably lost, like, 50 pounds.
Yeah, he put on some muscle and lost some fat.
He's still, like, a big boy, but he's now. And I've said this before. I posted a poll on the Facebook page. I said, "What's the most exciting thing in wrestling right now?" And the Bray Wyatt the Fiend is by far the biggest, the number one. Followed by number two, which is the finest Conor Reeves challenging Roman to a fight.
So. I didn't even clock that, but Conor Reeves is not worth it. He's a waste of my time. I got nothing from this guy.
The Facebook group loves Conor Reeves. I mean, are you shooting on Conor Reeves? I mean,
am I shooting on Conor Reeves? Yeah, he sounds like a Hawaiian nut. Like, it sounds like a delicious macadamia variety.
Right.
And his gimmick is a little bit contrived. I don't believe that this guy is in fact due to receive the finest things in life, like, just because he's, like, almost handsome and not in shape and has, like, a shitty dye job. Like, he's not, like, EC3 is like, I'm a 1% drive. Well, Kona's gimmick is like, it's like almost that he's a rich guy, but it's not. It's just he's like a connoisseur. It doesn't make sense. It's contrived. He's not the only guy doing something like that. I've never seen some in-ring stuff that impressed me. I don't like his look. It's just okay. He has room for improvement, but right now, I haven't been watching, so I don't know. Maybe he's been doing some dope shit. The last time I checked, he's wasting my time.
The Fiend, the lantern was sick.
Yeah, the lantern was like too much, but like it worked.
It was so, you know? I mean, that was actually, I was like, wow. Like, he really let Vince really let him do it.
I mean, something about facial, you know, deformity or manipulation is just like creepy. It's a creepy little lantern.
Well, it's funny because think about the Undertaker, the Undertaker versus Bray. You'd be like, what? Like, why is that one guy just like kind of scary compared to that other guy?
Well, it's different eras, man. Yeah. It's different eras. The Undertaker was the scariest thing going.
My thing is that what Bray is doing. I said this to you. I said Bray Wyatt is. I said I think Bray Wyatt is the best actor in WWE history. Now, I'm not saying wrestling
actor. That's such a low bar. That's such a low bar that I'm going to just agree with you cold. Like, yes.
Well, who'd you say is a better actor? Like, the only contenders for this. And so, just to clarify, I don't mean, like, movie star. Right? I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about, like, actual, just, like, acting chops. Like, a great actor. If you gave him a script cold, he would read it better than other people.
Yeah, he's a great performer that way.
The only people who could is, like, Roddy Piper, who's not a better actor. He's not.
Nah. He was great in They Live, but he's not. He doesn't have range. None of these guys have range, right? I mean, The Rock is the greatest movie star of all time, period, wrestler or not.
Yeah.
He's really just doing a lot of rock-based things.
you mean Jumanji, when he lands from the skies, they pan up his body, showed the Brahma Bull tattoo, and then it go up to his face and he has the people's eyebrow on.
Yeah.
His first shot in the movie.
It's so great. I would say Jake Roberts is a contender. Roberts had a very psychological promo style. He could get in there. Maybe Foley, but I think Bray's better than Foley at doing that, at acting.
Right.
Is there any other great actors? Nah, that's it, man. I mean, it's Bray hands down all day. Like he's got a talent that most wrestlers don't possess.
Yeah, I mean, Drew McIntyre could do a. There are parts he could do better than Bray, in some kind of Game of Thrones period piece thing or whatever.
No. It's not. That's, we're just talking about look. And Drew McIntyre, by the way, is a fantastic actor. He's one of the better performers, but not Bray level.
Like, for Bray sure. is an actual. Bray switches. People don't realize, like, when he does the Firefly Funhouse and he switches to the, like, let me in.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, happy-go-lucky. And then it's extremely subtle and, like, well done and believable.
It's nuanced. He has a level of nuance that is fucking absent from wrestling history.
Across
the board. Just the level of like, from your Hulk Hogan to your Ric Flair to your fucking whoever. Like, no, even your Stone Cold, like, there's no nuance. It's just it's just broad. It's just sort of like, boom, here's this thing. It's in your face. I'm this guy.
Right.
There is no real acting going on. Bray does. I remember this one line that sticks in there. He said, I don't remember, some promo where he goes, like, he's talking about something and he saw something. He was like, it was so cold, man. Like, and I was just like, wow, that's a good performance. Like, whatever that was, I love it. So,
Bray is pretty good, also.
Well, you know how that works.
So, here's the deal. Okay. So, what I'm saying with Bray is that he's done this thing, it's clearly a hit. You know, and not only that, it's super original and very ballsy. Like, if you think about, I had heard early on from people that Bray was working with puppets. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing
and
I heard.
And you're like, oh boy. And also, the original vignettes were just like a vulture puppet in a box, and it looked like it was right after Mania. It wasn't even Firefly Funhouse. It was just like a vulture hand puppet popped out of a box. And we're like, oh, I heard that's Bray. I'm like, oh, this looks like shit, man.
But you think about that, like, and then from all that we're hearing is that he's very involved in the creative of it, like that it's kind of like his idea, you know?
That's the special sauce, man. When you let these guys, if you let a talented guy just do his thing in wrestling, that's grabbing the brass ring, and I'm glad they're letting him run with it because all agree he's one of the better creative acting talents going, and I think he's pulling it off, and the sky's the limit. It's their ball to drop.
I would officially say that Bray Wyatt is one of my guys.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my guys. It's tough to be – it's like being a Mets fan, I guess, or something like that. Sorry to be real sports. It's tough because they don't do anything with him. Like, it's always a disappointment. But he's absolutely one of my guys. He's fantastic. I love him.
Yeah. Bray's actually one
out.
When I came
I'm
back –
the door.
All right. Well,
I got to go.
I didn't even bring up the thing. I was like, I'm going to bring up this last thing. But all right.
Well, say it real quick. I'll give you one sentence.
I'm going to parlay this into this, and then you can bounce from the combo, maybe get one shot in. And we did talk about this. So Bray, doing this amazing, unique character, completely original, cool idea, with some nods to horror. He maybe has, like, arguably, like, Freddy Krueger pants. But it's not cosplay at all. Right. And we're talking about SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver. Johnny Gargano wearing Wolverine yellow blue X-Men costume. Alexa Bliss wearing Buzz Lightyear, like straight up Buzz Lightyear costume.
Adorable.
And then Ricochet wearing the Nightwing costume. And there's just part of me that I love wrestling so much. I really believe it's like a great art form. That there's just part of me where they do the, when with the cosplay, it feels like so derivative. But also, the simple argument against it is that it's kind of just tired at this point, I think. Like, Rey Mysterio did it 10 years ago.
Yeah. When Rey Mysterio pops out in a Joker-themed mask and stuff, that's awesome, right? But now if everyone's doing it, it's kind of whack. That's kind of how anything goes, right? I think in small doses, it's great, especially if it's like a really niche character that people won't know. Like, similar but different, but like when Sasha Banks is wearing like Eddie Guerrero kind of print for one of her matches, I think, at Mania perhaps. Like,
yeah,
that
she
was
did
cool.
It at Mania 32, Bachelor Mania, I believe.
Right. If you knew the reference, it was cool, right? So, like, if you know these references, it's cool. But at this point, if it's just every comic book character ever, it kind of loses its flavor and it's no longer important. But if it means something to you and you actually pull it off and it's used sparingly by the wrestlers, I'm not against it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the hardest stance against it of anyone I've talked to. Here's the thing I'm saying is that, like, I understand that it's exciting, it's cool. Like, I know it looks cool. Like, that's the thing I'm saying is that I'm not seeing this and saying, like, this doesn't look good. Like, Gargano came out and I see it and he's got the slash. We lost Chefs. He's gone. He's got the slashes. You know what? Actually, I'm going to... he hung up. You know what? I'm going to make a phone call right now. We'll replace him. Let's see. We got him.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
We got Mr. Nick Tulo on the phone. Yo, where are you? In the fucking hoagie shop, man? I mean, you're so far away.
I am in the hoagie shop.
Can you get closer to your phone here?
Oh, okay, hold on. I got my headphones on. Let me take my headphones.
Yeah, yeah. No, just put the phone up to your ear. Let's be a professional for once.
All right. Can you hear me better?
Wait. No, I can't hear you better. I'm hearing you way worse.
Hold on.
All right. Anyway, Nick Tulo here. As you know, guys, I said that. Well, Tulo, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Okay, so look, here's the deal. We just spoke to Shrebs, and then I called you because right now on the podcast, I'm in Augusta, Georgia right now. I'm doing the Comedians of Wrestling Road Diaries right now. And so the cash-ins are not happening right now because I don't have a Nosh, obviously, even though I wouldn't have a Nosh even if I was in the studio because he's the Canadian nightmare, but the Canadian destroyer, if you will. But but I don't have the cash-ins, so I'm cashing out. So I'm calling people.
So this is technically a mobile cash in, is what you're saying.
This is a mobile cash in right now. I'm right now
okay,
in
hold
a
on
Hyatt.
One second. Let me do it properly. We got 10:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy Tiptoe Tula.
Okay. Well, we're both on Eastern Standard Time now. But anyway, I'm giving you the respect as a man who was boots on the ground. You know, this podcast, we pride ourselves on the fact that the Cal community is always present at events now at this point. I mean,
always.
So tell us what, and I'm going to parlay you into the conversation I was just having with Shebs where he actually hung up on me. Not out of anger, just because he had to go, but okay, what was the vibe this weekend up there? Go.
All right. So clearly we're in a different day, a different country. So Toronto is full of very, very...
Did
nice
you see
people.
Anosh there, and would you like to ask him if he wants to come back to the podcast and help us out?
I mean, I think he's in the Pacific Northwest. I'm very Pacific Northeast.
Yeah. Toronto's up there, more by New York. Northeast. You know, the annoying thing is that I was in Rochester, New York.
Hold on.
Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, my God, dude. I think Tulo's windsurfing.
Okay, no, you got me now?
Yeah. I was actually in Rochester, New York, which is only 3 hours away from SummerSlam.
Oh, shit. You're in Rochester?
No, I was on Saturday night shooting for the show. And if I had the next night off, I was going to drive up and just do SummerSlam and then fly down to Atlanta. But I had to fly out on the day of SummerSlam, so I couldn't do it.
It was fucking awesome, dude. Well, first of all, it was like we went to 4 shows in 3 nights. So Friday we went to a show called Superkicked, which was an indie show where we were like on the ring, like slamming on the ring and stuff. And there was Casanova Valentine, who's a guy that we follow in New York. He does like the death match.
He's the death match dude, right? He's like McDeath Bear or whatever.
MC Death Bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was sick. We had
that guy looks just like Cactus Jack.
Yeah, he's pretty much has evolved into Cactus Jack now. Yeah, Mick Foley. Yeah. We had a house. It was me, Lauren Moran, the official artist.
The finest.
Yeah.
Not Reeves. The finest for me is Lauren Moran. She's the finest, is it like finest artist?
That's a very accurate representation. Yeah. Erin was supposed to go, but since she moved, she canceled, and then Lauren filled in the spot. So it was like a perfect transition. And Wetzel was there, and Dickie Lee, and of course, Jerk Mills. You know?
Right. A lot of OG Jabroniacs.
OG, like real OG.
Great. Love it.
We did that Friday, and then Saturday we woke up like super hungover. And we went to an all women show called Shine, where like Jordan Grace performed, Shotzi wrestled. Who else? Bull Nagano did a surprise appearance. Everybody lost their fucking minds.
That's dope.
And then from there, we went to NXT. So Scotiabank is pretty dope. We had decent seats. We were down low, but like behind the ring, like facing the entrance ramp.
Yeah.
So the seats were cool because we were downstairs.
Yeah, let me ask you, how hot was the crowd in that arena? I felt like I kept feeling like I was watching it, and I felt like the crowd was not that hot. But then everyone said the crowd was real hot. I don't know if it was just something up with the mixing or whatever.
You know, I think so. I've been at the last three takeovers. I was at Takeover New York. I was at Takeover 25, and then I was at Takeover Toronto, and the best crowd, in my opinion, I think might have been Takeover 25 in Connecticut. Mania crowd, the WrestleMania weekend crowd was really good too, but I think just there was just way more different types of marks, and the building was a lot smaller.
Right.
Scotiabank is like fucking huge, like really, really big. It's a hockey arena naturally. So, you know, I thought the crowd was pretty hot. I mean, I don't think it was like really as marky as it usually is. So that's a good.
I'm saying. There was something where I was expecting, I think I just had real high expectations. Like when Owens came out, I was like, they're going to like tear the place down. Like, remember when Owens cut that promo and Zayn, they like couldn't even do their segments because the canada crowd was so hot. But I felt like I didn't get any of that juice.
Yeah, it was, I'm Montreal and Toronto, I guess maybe because two different cities.
That's
those guys
why,
are
right?
from Montreal. Those guys are from Montreal, but I mean, honestly, I think Natty might have got like hometown crowd pop. It was Natty, Kevin, and Trish. Trish got a pop, obviously, because Toronto. But I mean, the pops weren't that. I mean, the biggest moment and where everybody was just kind of screaming was the Bray moment, because we all kind of like didn't know what to expect. So then that all happens, and everybody was just like, wasn't really like cheering. Everybody was just like screaming, like, you know, because it was just so, once everybody realized that his music was the old music still, but remixed, we all just turned to each other and were like, holy motherfucking shit. Like, this is exactly how it should
have
been.
That's what I was talking about with Shebs. I think people were so pumped that he kept the old song.
Totally.
And then he just made it more scary. So, what was the match of the weekend, would you say?
Who?
For you there. Not pressure. I don't care about five stars. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. Like, what was the match that you were like, I just had the most fun with that one?
Most fun. You know, there's nothing that really stood out like dynamic. I'm just trying to think of the main card.
Not the Cole Gargano match?
You know what? It's interesting. I think I was out of the three matches they've had. Yeah. I think that last one was like, you know, okay, you kind of knew you were getting, you know, going to the third
fall.
Well,
you could see the cage, right?
We didn't realize it. Like, Dickie Lee, Richard Lee did not like said something right before the start of the match. It was like, it kind of looks like there's something above the ring, and we were high up enough where we couldn't like see under.
Right.
And then we're like, oh shit, it's a fucking cage. The third fall is going to be a cage. So right before the match, that's when we figured it out. Honestly, the EO Candice match was like insane. It really delivered live, like really good. EO's entrance is like the best thing going, probably. It is.
She's pretty great. I actually, her entrance, I thought, was the thing that stuck out for me, because I don't remember exactly why, but there was an attitude to it. The music's a little, like, it's, how do you describe it? I can't picture it, but I remember when she entered, I was like, that is like, very cool. And she has, like a very, very bad guy energy.
Oh, it's totally is, dude. Now, she debuted it, like, I think 2 weeks ago on NXT, and then... to see, and then she was in all black gear too. And then she comes out in like a different hair color, sick gear, and she's like screaming and shaking her head. And there's so many strobes going on, and the beat is like insane.
Yeah, it
and
was you're great. Like,
this girl's going
to
come
she,
out.
She
this
seems to have a lot of momentum on her side. I think that she was a breakout. She was a breakout star for me this weekend.
Oh, totally. And you know what? In that match too, it's kind of tough. Like, what that match almost needed was a little bit of color, like on Candice's side, just to kind of show her that she's more of a badass and not like this, you know, like bubblegum kind of, you know, fun wrestler, which I know she's not.
Right.
Like, I know that. But to the general public, people might be like, oh, she looks like Bailey, you know, like she's got the fun gear. But Candice is a badass, and she was doing some crazy spots. Honestly, that was probably the match of the weekend for me. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Bray moment was stole the show from the whole weekend.
Yeah. Like, you know what the match easily. That actually, like, the match that I think surprised me the most was the Trish-Charlotte match.
Oh, yeah. And well, that's
I couldn't believe that I was cared about it at all. I was wow. And like, they put on a pretty good show.
And this is why no one should ever doubt Charlotte Flair ever. No. She can literally, because then Tuesday night she goes out and wrestles with Ember Moon and has a better match with Ember Moon than Bayley had with her championship.
No, Charlotte's on another level. Charlotte is the only argument for, like, Charlotte could wrestle the guys, like, no question.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So, all right. I got two questions for you. Okay.
Sure.
All right. First question, I'm going to layer you in. I came out hot against the cosplay, okay?
Yeah.
I don't like it. And I'm trying to – the reason I want to talk about it is because I want to say that I think it looks good. It looks really good. So that's the thing. It's like, I want to tell everyone that even the Ricochet one, I think looks good. And I like them, like I like that he took that chance. It's like, normally he wears pants, but he's like, I'm gonna wear a full body suit, right?
It's
ballsy. So I appreciate the risk. I like them as artists taking the risks. But if you look at what Bray did, right, and you think about, and the years, look at the years of cultivation of that character, like how he's, where he started from, where he was Husky Harris, and then he found this kind of cult gimmick, and then he's like, oh, I want to be, I've heard him in interviews say, like, I want to be like like a From a horror film, I want to be like, I could easily just, it looks like I walked out of your screen from a horror film, you know? And you're like, oh, and then his evolution of that and building that. That takes time to find it, see what you're comfortable with, have like that spark moment. I worry the cosplay is indicative to me of everything I've been talking about the past couple of weeks, where I'm like, these guys are too comfortable not creating original characters and like, more significant point of views. And I think that's like the thing where it's like, oh, my gimmick is I just come out and I wear, like, I'm just going to wear the Wolverine thing because it's going to get pop. It looks good, but it's like Gargano. I don't know. I'm just like, you know, shouldn't you be figuring it out a little more?
Yeah, I mean.
Where are you at on that? I have the most hardcore stance on it.
No. And we were kind of talking this. I mean, I've been like really into the indie scene lately. So I see a lot of this stuff happen, you know, like I see how these indie wrestlers are connecting with their fans, and it's important. Right. So when I see a guy like Johnny Gargano, I know when I'm going to an NXT takeover, I'm expecting some cool ass gear from Johnny Gargano. It's honestly something I look forward to. Honestly, it's what everybody looks forward to now when they're like, what's he going to wear? What's he going to wear? And guess what? He delivers, and it's cool. And it's who he is. So I get that. Ricochet, to me, I didn't know who it was. Yeah. Thank God I was with Lauren, because she knew immediately. So I was like, oh, that's fucking badass. And she kind of told me a little bit of the history of the character. And I'm like, oh, that's even cooler. Like, all right, that kind of aligns with a guy who's calling himself a real life superhero. Right.
Right.
The person who made no sense, but whatever, is Alexa Bliss being Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
Right. So Alexa Bliss is her own unique character. She should stick, and she always has really good gear.
Right.
you go and do it, whatever. It's a SummerSlam thing. I mean, like, I personally appreciate the Iconics and what they do with their gear way more than what anybody else does. You know,
like, she did wear like Maleficent horns or whatever.
Yeah, you know? But you know what? Like, it's not a full cosplay. But, yeah, it's just
That didn't bother. That doesn't bother me.
Right.
You know, I think it's like, you know, it is. It's like, it's this thing where I think I just see it as it's so indicative of what frustrates me about wrestling right now. And then it was just a perfect storm for me of Bray coming out and showing everybody how it's done and like what wrestling is. Like, when, you know, when we were kids, these characters were bigger and maybe it was sillier, but there's a middle ground here, you know? And especially if WWE wants to, when they're competing with AEW, they'll never be able to compete with them in that arena if they start
right.
that level of production, they cannot pull off, you know? So if they up it that way, it's just a great strategy. Anyway, I mean, I think that all right, so here's my next question for you.
Okay.
AEW All Out coming up, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
$50. So, do you think that price point is too high? I think that, yeah, I'm curious. Before I tell you my thoughts, what do you think about that? $50 to order it?
I never know what to think with this brand anymore. It's just,
oh wait, it doesn't, full disclosure, I forgot. You give AEW more shit than most people.
Well, it's not that I give them shit. I just, like, there's so much talking and all this stuff, and they're talking about being a real company, but then I'm not getting, like, and then anytime I question, it's like, oh, you got to wait till October. All right, well, I'll wait till October, but, like, what's the plan? Am I getting, like, am I paying $50 for a pay-per-view every time? Like, to me, I did it last time because I tried to stream it, and the stream was awful, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just buying this pay-per-view.
Right.
You know, the Bleacher, the two free in between is cool. So technically you're getting four pay-per-views from them in the last year and you're spending $100, right? So $25 each time, not the worst.
Right.
But if their plan is to do four pay-per-views a year, which I think it probably will end up being, then $50 a time. Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that's really steep, and when you're, especially when your competition is offering $120 subscription base and you get 12 pay-per-views a year and tap into all the wrestling you've ever wanted to watch in your whole entire life.
Right.
I'm trying my best not to get too harped up in the details when it comes to AEW. Like, for instance, I was like bummed out when Orange Cassidy signed with AEW. Not because I don't like AEW, but because, like, man, that guy needs to keep doing his run in the indies because it's so epic at every show that you go to. People need to experience him more in the indie scene and then let him fucking go crazy, right? So, you know, I don't know. I'm just so, like, one second I love Cody, and then the next second I think he's the fucking biggest asshole in the whole entire world. So am I getting worked? Yeah, I'm getting worked. But am I going to order it? Yeah, I'm probably gonna order.
I love how emotional you are right now. There's a lot of emotions here. There's a lot of thoughts that you're being pulled every way. You don't know what to think. Here's what I think about it. Like, I think you had some good points. I think, look, I'm gonna buy it. Here's the bottom line: is All Out is like that show is sick. The card is sick. Double or Nothing was one of my favorite shows, arguably my favorite show of the year.
Yeah,
we can't take that away from them. They did a lot of cool stuff. I think that when it comes to AEW, that's just that. I think $50 is a weird place to start for their crowning of the title. Like, I think the show, you'd want it to be more accessible. And this thing of like, well, like, we get a couple people together. It's just not the world we live in anymore. No one's getting together like that. You know what I mean?
I don't get off my fucking couch for anybody anymore.
No, you're talking on the, you know, you're FaceTiming with someone while you're watching it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think, and I know they have plans for a subscription model and whatnot, but I'm just like, I think from a business standpoint, I think the price point's too high. I don't know who their analytics person was who said that.
Like, I mean, they offered the last two for free, right?
Right.
So,
but those shows were not nearly as important as this show.
No, but it gives you a way to kind of like, well, since they don't care about the casual fans, but it gives you a way to like kind of get be like, oh, this is for free. All I got to do is download this app and watch it. Okay. Did I like this? Yeah, it was cool. Now the people have to determine whether they want to spend $50 or not. Is it steep? Yeah. Is it dumb business-wise? I don't think it's the smartest. If you're going into – about to, like, go into your live – you know, like, your live television premiere in the month after that, I mean, the more eyes on your product, the better. And if $50 is restricting people, it's even stopping some of their regular fans, I feel like, from purchasing right. it. Because, you know, me, I'm so careless with my money. I learned a lot about that this weekend. Like, everybody I was with had good budgets, and yeah. I just fucking swipe my fucking card and I don't think about it, you know? Like, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta start getting on a fucking budget plan.
Well, they depend on people like you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, people know, like, oh, $50 is too much for me that month. Me, I'm just like, $50, yeah, okay. But it's not like I'm rich and stuff. I got a lot of bills I got to pay too. So
right.
I just don't think like that. So, you know, money, it's tough, man. Yeah, whatever.
I think the branding of it is like, there's a weird thing where, look, I know AEW, what they're doing is, Arlen said they must be banking on the fact that, like, the price point doesn't really matter. The people are going to buy it are going to buy it. Like, that's why you price something high is right. because you think that, like, making it lower is not going to change it. So that's probably what they're banking on. And so I think that's probably true, right? Like, I wish it was $25, but it's 50. But I think it's also this right. thing where I think, like, right now, I think about the people who hit me up and go, what's this AEW thing, Dan? Like, what is that? And then, and then they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to order that for $50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. But you also have Cody coming out and saying, like, well, he doesn't care about those fans, you know? So, like, he knows his fans that love him and love this company are going to spend $50 on it, and they'll figure out a way to fucking do it. He apparently, what he's saying is he doesn't really care about the WWE fans who are like, I don't know if I'm going to watch AEW. Well, then, I mean, he's banking that, hey, the next day everybody's going to say All Out was the best show of the year. You gotta check it out or look into it, and then that will get you into being like, all right, I'm gonna watch on October and see what these guys are all about for free on TNT, you know?
Right. Right.
I mean, I guess yeah. so. I don't fucking know.
No, we'll see. I'm just saying, it was just kind of like a thing where I was like, oh, I feel like this is like a major inaugural show for them. And I was like, oh, this one they're gonna want as many people to see it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if they're putting all this money in. But anyway, look, again, this is kind of like not even what the shit we talk about on the show. But Sasha Banks back.
Oh, dude. I mean,
we knew she would come back heel. Because she just had to. Yeah, you know, what are you saying?
I'm just all about it. I mean, I posted that picture, like, her hugging the two girls in the Becky Lynch jackets with this like smug look on her face. Like, I'm about to get you back as my fans again. And I'm about to beat the shit out of Becky. And you guys don't even know. Like, I got worked, man. I saw the wig and I was like, because the moment was so interesting, right? Like, Natty's talking about her dad and it being a year since he passed away. Like, that's some fucking heel shit, man. And like, you know what? I think they did it a little bit earlier too, because it seemed like the Toronto crowd didn't realize what Natty was talking about and they were getting a little bit bored. So I think they busted out Sasha like kind of as a, all right, go out there now because we don't want the crowd to turn on her when she's doing this special moment. And then she goes out there and does the deed and like, man, that blue hair. And she was beating the shit out of fucking Becky and it got heated, man. Like, I know people are like, oh, she's sloppy with the chair shots. Like, man, that's on everybody in that situation.
Are you saying Sasha was sloppy with the chair shots?
Apparently, like, I saw a video, like, Becky took, like, a shot in the back of the head. But she was, like, on all fours and, like,
her head was, like, kind of up. I mean, Sasha is sloppy. And, like, we know this. She's been sloppy for a long time. I think at this point, especially if her as a heel, it's only a good thing, assuming no one gets hurt, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, you know,
she has to be a heel because she has a notoriously bad attitude. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
when I was following along on her, like, she was training. I don't know if it was Japan or China, but I know she was training with Xia Li, who's like one of the NXT superstars that are coming up. And I think Sasha's gonna have like a new like Japanese and tough in style, like strong style fighting, because her new merch is kind of like revolved around that. It looks like it's got that
the
kind
Sasha
of aesthetic
shirt?
To it. Yeah, so it's got like
I
this
saw
Asian
the purple shirt. I wasn't into it. You dig it? It's
not
just generic.
For me,
it's kind of just like a shirt.
Yeah, but if you look at it, look at the lettering. It's very like Japanese in style. It's got the Panthers. I think she's gonna like go into a more of a strong style of fighting. And I think if she parlays that into with her boss gimmick, like full heel, like kind of the way like Io's doing it too, like this crazy, like badass, like I'm gonna fucking kill you. I don't care who you are.
I hope she just actually just is a boss. One thing I fucking love about wrestling, I love that. Tell me any other thing where, I mean, I guess you could say like superhero stuff, but whatever, where you're like, where like the color of her hair matters so much. It's like, oh my God, her hair's a different color. I was like fucking like coming in my pants because she has blue hair. I'm like, oh, dude. Yeah. Well, not in a creepy way, by the way, not in a swampy way. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, no.
Just because of the
never,
change.
Never.
I mean,
the blue hair was like, you know what's funny too is because she posted pictures like a couple days before and she had blonde and everybody failed to realize that in order to change her hair color,
yeah,
you gotta reset it, right? You gotta reset it. So I was like, oh, she's going blonde. She's definitely not coming back. And then she fucking comes back and I'm like, wait, she was just blonde. And I'm like looking at her purple hair. And I'm like, there's something wrong with like her wig. I'm like, or her weave, you know, she's usually got it on tight. And then when she ripped that thing off, man, that's that moment, you know, like, what's cool is that like Moxley kind of set the trend and Bray's kind of setting the trend that like you're starting to feel like
earrings.
Wrestlers are starting to allow to have a like freedom in their character. You know, like you could feel it. Like there's almost like they're loosening the reins on some of these wrestlers and be like, all right, you want to do this? We'll do it. Let's give it a shot. It'll be heavily influenced by us, but we're going to take your lead and go with it. Like, I think that's important now, right?
Well,
like,
we'll see. I mean, look, we talked so much about Bray. I don't want to go back to Bray because we spent probably the first hour of the pod on Bray. But, like, I mean, it depends on the talent. You know, I mean, some talents have great ideas. And then some talents have ideas that you might think are bad but are actually good and you got to hear them out. And then some talents need to be told what to do. So that's why you say WWE's creative process. I think what gets frustrating for me is when like you is that I doubt the WWE, I'm getting so much work stuff. I'm doubt that the WWE's creative process is one dimensional like that, where it's like, we do it all, like, you know, we do it all, blah, blah, blah. I think it's talent based. And I think that's why Dean is kind of just crazy. You know what I mean? And Dean is a guy who, like, I barely understand when he's talking in the ring. You know what I mean? That they're probably just like, they're probably like, oh, we got to control this guy. Like, his gimmick is he wants to be crazy, you know? Anyway, that's my theory. I don't have any proof of that. All right.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm moving on. Goldberg-Ziggler. Goldberg-Ziggler. I want to make sure we get to that. So, I feel like I'm biased as well. I specifically want your, although I don't know if you count yourself as biased also as a dude
who's
met
Ziggler. I'm pretty biased now, too.
We all like Ziggler because he's one of the...
Once he told me that I should do kids' birthday parties because I looked so much like Seth Rollins, I'm like, all right, Ziggler, I love Ziggler. I'm completely on the biased Ziggler train. Yeah.
But like, I was bummed that like, this is the way they chose to do this match. I think it's cool to see Spears, but it's also like with Ziggler, I know I'm biased, but I'm like, yo, you can't have this guy have a title shot last month, you know, and then just be a complete jobber like that.
Well, I mean, you're friends with him, so you probably know more than me. So first of all, live, it really delivered. Like,
yes, and it was, he did an amazing job with the segment. And it's not like I've talked to him or anything, so I have no idea. And he might feel like that. He might feel really good about it. He should feel good about it because the performance was fucking great. It was completely unpredictable. It was a great way to use Goldberg, who is extremely limited. You know what I mean? But there was part of me that was like, let's see if Ziggler can carry a match for Goldberg, especially coming off the match with Taker. Like, I don't think this fixed Goldberg. If his thing was that, like, I could still go, that match was just, it was like 200 degrees and I hit my head. This match proved nothing to fix that, his image in terms of being a worker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think that was ever really the goal. I think, like, you know, I mean, no one expected Ziggler to do what he did after he got, you know, after the match was over. Like, to call him back out again, and he comes back down, and then the third time he comes all the way back from backstage and hits him off the ropes. And, like, we were sitting there, and Jack and I were, like, laughing our asses off. We thought it was fucking good.
Also, props to Ziggler for how he ate that first spear in a way that was like, I don't think I've ever seen a spear. Like, actually, Ziggler sells spears so well. Yeah, I did. But he also took a – there's a spear from Roman Reigns on the ramp that Ziggler took one time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when remember that? Roman's coming down the ramp, yeah.
Ziggler eats spears. This is the problem, is that there's no good deed goes unpunished. Like, if you fucking can sell the way Ziggler can sell, you're gonna get jobbed out. Yeah. You know?
I mean, and that's what people, you know, Buddy Murphy has this amazing match against Roman Reigns, and the reason why everybody loves it so much is because it looked like he fucking did a Spanish fly on Roman Reigns at the end of that on that spear at the end. And, like, if you're able to sell,
Are you talking about the Buddy Murphy spear?
Yeah.
From Reigns? That was incredible. Yeah. But you know, dude, I'm a sucker for that. I love throw a flip in at the end of a move. I love it.
Yeah. And Roman on Twitter gave him a rub. And then I saw below, Bubba Ray commented on it. Like, you know, it's not about winning the matches. If you are able to sell the match and get it over to the crowd, it's just as good as winning the match sometime, you know? And that's so true. It's like, so many people like would look at that and be like, oh, well, you know, Buddy's jobbed out to Roman. No, he didn't job out to Roman. He just went 15 minutes with the guy, stood toe to toe, went, you know, the whole way, and then sold the finisher to make Roman look even better, you know? So,
yeah, totally. I think that was great. By the way, I said on this podcast that Kevin Owens' gimmick should be the working dad. And I mean, we might have a mole situation, which we always know, because now they find him $100K and he's talking about paying for his kids' college. And he's pulling the full on, like, that $100,000. Oh, and by the way, I always say they should talk more about money because it gives stakes. That $100,000. He's like, that doesn't mean anything to you. It's a new car. But to me, that's my kid's college. I mean, come on. I just know what I'm doing. I just know what I'm doing.
It's disgusting. And you know what? We're seeing so much more of it now. You know, someone on the group just posted, one of the guys, Gary, and Gary's always like a little negative about WWE. He's like, I gotta admit it, man. He's like, this Kevin Owens and Shane stuff has got me interested and back into watching. And this, you know, I forgot what was the other thing. Oh, the Bray stuff. And I was like, hell yeah, man. And this Roman Reigns fucking shit is awesome.
The,
like,
Roman Reigns stuff is great. It also, because part of what makes it so good is that Roman Reigns matters the least. He just happens to be the victim of the thing, and then but he's going around like kind of like a cop, like a bad cop, like searching out the answers that he needs, but one punch at a time.
Right, and it's fucking great, they end it on a cliffhanger. We never get cliffhangers anymore at the end of a show. We got a fucking cliffhanger. Yeah. Wait till next week. You know.
See, this is the whole thing. Is that if I feel like WWE's taken so many of my notes, you know, which was that, like, we need to watch the show. It needs to be more serialized. We need to watch it for the same reason we watch Game of Thrones and other TV shows. Right now we're invested in this story. Like, we're seeing a lot of, like, we're seeing,
dude, King of the Ring. I mean, You know, like, that's the perfect example. Every week there's going to be a new match, and it's going to lead up to Clash of Champions, to the point where you have to tune into Clash of Champions to find out who's going to win King of the Ring and find out what it does for them. You know, and now these stories are popping up, and it's just like, you know, it's becoming television that you have to we just tuned in because we're marks.
Right.
But in order to get the people back and watching, I will guarantee that by the time October comes around, ratings are going to be the highest they've ever been, and everybody's going to be more invested, and people are going to be less likely to be pissed off. Like, there's not as much negative shit as there was a couple weeks ago, yeah. You know? So
I think AEW is going to do what they do great. Like, the competition wise, like, WWE is right now doing what they should do, which is be a billion-dollar company with high level production, high level show. They can do storytelling. They can do anything. I mean, like, the sky's the limit. They're going to be on Fox. They have a tremendous talent. They just got to give them the storytelling. They got to give them the gimmicks. They got enough guys doing shit right. They got Seth Rollins back on track. And AEW will do what they do, which will be like higher work rate, and it'll be more or whatever. Higher work rate. So even hard to say.
Yeah, we know what it is at this point. You know, I think everybody knows what to expect. And
right, I don't.
In the end, you just got to remember you're watching fucking wrestling. It's cool. It's fun. It now you have more options. You can watch, tune in when you want. You can WWE is a media empire now. You don't actually have to watch on a Monday night. If you can't, you can just go to their social media and find out everything that happened. And if there's something that heightens your interest, you can go back on your DVR or on your Hulu or on the network one day and watch it, or on YouTube and get a highlight recap. Like, it's all a different experience now. And like, I'll tell you what though, between SummerSlam and WrestleMania, yeah. It was different in two different things because we had Cal Mania and all that stuff going on in the tailgate. But like, man, I had a lot of fun in Toronto. Like, it was wrestling wise, like, and the people, like, and the city, it just delivered, man, on like, on all levels, like, big time.
Yeah.
We were sitting up top in the 300s.
I was cool.
We were sitting up top and in the 300s, and we were like, oh shit, our seats up top were better than the ones that were downstairs, you know? Like,
well, the worst seats are on the floor seats are the worst. Unless if you're in the first, the crazy thing with wrestling is the first row experience versus the second row. I've only sat front row, you know, very recently. I had very good seats.
Great seats.
But I sat front row at Raw and SmackDown. And like, first row is an amazing. It's amazing. Second row is such a big jump down. Like, it's still awesome because you're close or whatever, but the next couple rows are kind of the same. But once you get to like past the 10th row, I'd be in the 100 section 100% over that.
Yeah.
Because it's because of the flat ground. Everyone needs to know when you're going to Manias, watch out for those lights. They will blind you. But anyway, we'll get to that closer to Mania season. But okay, well, I think we covered most of it too low. And I'm glad we got to talk because that's what I was telling people that I had no problem. I got no problem with you, okay? I had no problem with what you did. I was saying that I don't condone what you did. I understood why you did what you did to Iffy. We're talking, of course, you attacked Iffy Nwadaway with a WWE Shop Zone briefcase.
You could call it that, but that's fine.
Yeah, okay. You know, all right. But all I'm saying is that we got no problems. I'm saying I don't condone it, and I can't protect you from any of that stuff. So, you know, whatever. Cool?
Dan, listen, man, my problem ain't with you. You know that. If I'm doing anything, it's to make things right. And it's time, man. Like, it's time.
All right.
That's all I got to say. All right. And when it happens, we'll be on the right side of history.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about. I got to go. Anyway, okay. Well, Nick Tulo, Jay Shabs, we're cashing out. Look, great weekend of professional wrestling. Did we get to it all today? No, I got tons more notes, but I'm glad we had a nice organic conversation, specifically about the fact that, man, the times are here. It is August right now. WWE's kicking it up clearly, and AEW All Out, that show you know is going to like change the tone. All these shows are going to start being more and more important as we go along. And congrats to Bray Wyatt for stealing the show at SummerSlam and really setting the tone for what wrestling should be and what, in my opinion. And let's cut out the cosplay. Look at all the greats right now. The greats in pro wrestling right now, I don't know, in my opinion, are the ones, they're not cosplaying. So they have touches of pop culture references, which wrestling should have, but you had Seth Rollins, looks great, okay? The only time I didn't like his gear when he was wearing like Chicago Bears colors or something, you know, but most of the time his gear looks fucking good. And by the way, that Rollins Seth match, that was the match we needed to see. Thank God. No low blow. Loved it. Seth looked like a hero. It's great. He already has that legitimacy. Now he's going into a nice feud with AJ, another guy. Great. His gear, completely original. That's his look. He creates it. I want my wrestlers to be original. I want them taking risks. So I appreciate that Ricochet wore a full bodysuit. That's a big risk. But it's like making it after like some superhero character. It's like, come on, man. Make your own shit. You know, the wings were cooler when he wears the wings. That's it. But I will say with Ricochet, he might work a little better as being like just a cool guy, but that's a talk for another time. I'm going to hit you guys with a Patreon episode, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Check us, support us. Okay. We're going to put out bonus episodes. I'm going to do a bonus episode on the Stone Cold show. I'm working a lot right now, but I got to watch it because I watched it on mute. I saw Rob Riggle and him and some fucking ATV. I'm pumped to watch it, but I'm going to put a Patreon episode talking about that. And maybe some of the SummerSlam stuff I didn't get to, but man, what a great show. And anyway, hey, everybody, I'm signing out from the Road Diaries, Comedians of Wrestling. I'm here in Augusta, Georgia. I'll see you next week from, I'm not 100% sure where I am next Wednesday, but I think North Carolina. Maybe if I can find a second, I'll meet up with some of you jabroniacs. But hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.